This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So glad that you could join us today, and pray that your week was well. And just want to say to you that we love you here at Harvest Christian Ministries. Take time now even to share this message with someone that you want to encourage today. It is the beginning of Black History Month, rather. And also, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe your team is playing, and maybe you're rooting for somebody. Amen. Only one winner today. I want to just say to you that we're so glad that you've taken time to join us. And during the course of this particular month, we'll be sharing on Black History. But let's start our day, as always, with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come today and we want to thank you. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy. Lord, when we look back over our lives, we know that it was you who made the difference. As we come today, we come as sinners saved by grace. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. As we come today, God, we pray that your word will help to encourage somebody, that you trust us, that your words in our mouth, that someone might be lifted up, might be encouraged, might be blessed. And when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And during this month of Black History Month, I thought about doing something family-wise. So me and my wife talked about it, and I suggested that we would highlight every Sunday our parents. Amen. Jim and Doris Tuden, Eddie and Roberta Dawson. And so each week we'll have a vignette. Just to give you a brief history of our family history. Amen. So we're going to start that even right now.
Live Oak, Florida, Suwanee County, James Jim Tuden, born in 1919, one of four children. With only a sixth grade education, he left home to serve his country as a medical corpsman, rare in 1942. James served on the same battlefield as his older brother Charles in Africa and Italy. Back from the war, he married Doris McKeever. Together they raised four children, Evelyn, Pauline, James, and yours truly. More than a dozen children called him Granddaddy. He had a passion for farming. Just ask his neighbors in the East End, where he was known as Son or Mr. Jim. James Tuden Sr., this Sunday's family history.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God, praise God. I can taste some of his food from the garden even right now. On next Sunday, we will highlight Edward Eddie Dawson. Amen. And then in the weeks following, we'll let you find out a little bit about each of our parents and the blessing they've been to us. And we know that you have great stories of your own experience as it relates to your family. Amen. Want to get the day started by saying to another family member of ours, it's the Marsh family. So Roy and Deborah Marsh, we want to celebrate with them their 50th wedding anniversary. 50 years is a long time. Sometimes folk don't last a year or two, but to God be the glory. Amen. They love the Lord, and we want to just shout out to them to the glory of God. We're going to begin now with a song from the choir.
Every voice has sing till the end.
Praise God. Thank the Lord. Today I'm reminded of being in Huntington, West Virginia, where I did my beginning of my reporting career, and I met a relative of Carter G. Woodson, considered the father of Black history, and I asked this great niece about Mr. Woodson. She says that's all he wanted to do was to document the story and the history of African Americans. Amen. We're now preparing for the Word of God. Choir's coming back to get our hearts right. Classic gospel songs. It's always great to hear just the word in music, talking about a struggle, but we got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Time now for the Word of God. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come once again and we thank you for the opportunity just to share your word. Lord, I come even now praying that I might decrease and that you might increase. Lord, save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles today. I'm going to be sharing about three different passages, starting with Exodus 14 and 28. So if you need a moment just to find that, it's Genesis and then Exodus. You Bible scholars already knew that. The second book of the Old Testament, Exodus 14, 28. It says, "The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived." 14:29 says, "But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left." Exodus 15 and 20 says, "Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Interference. Interference. You don't have to be a big football fan to know that today is the day for the Super Bowl. That's the big game that's been played every year since 1967.
Yeah.
And when the final seconds tick off the clock, only one team will be crowned as the champion.
Amen.
Football, like so many other sports, there are rules and regulations. In football, NFL, there are seven referees on the field to keep watch on every play. Now, sometimes you might disagree. You think they're asleep or that they're blind or they need glasses. But what a tough job to have to be an official. You know, one of the most controversial calls in the game of football is something called pass interference. Now, I checked with my sport commentator and analyst, Tim Tuden Jr., to make sure I had all the information correct. Pass interference takes place when a pass is in the air and a defensive player pushes, shoves, holds, or in some way prevents the offensive player from catching the pass. Now, while pass interference can be called on either the offense or the defense, most likely it ends up being the defensive player who gets caught. When this happens, the official will throw a yellow flag. Did you realize that God is the holy referee?
All right.
And that sometimes he has to throw his yellow flag from glory. Have you ever been flagged for interference? Don't answer too quickly. Flag for trying to block the plan or the purpose of God's plan for your life, or perhaps for someone else. I can testify, I've been called a few times for holding back, and for sinning, and for coming short of the glory of God. That flag for me, and still is today, the Holy Spirit reminding me of what I need to do. Jeremiah 29:11, we're all familiar with that passage of the Harvest Family, that God knows the plans that he has for us. And yet and still, we are guilty of interference. You know, interference is not new. It started back in the first book of the Bible, in the Bible of Genesis, in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, there in the Garden of Eden. And God had told them what to do, what not to eat. But then Satan shows up and he does what? He says, no, God did not mean that. What God meant was this. And we got to be careful. Folk may tell you something that you know is not true. Be careful who you follow. So there in the Garden of Eden, there in the book of Genesis, God threw a flag on the enemy and gave him a warning. You see, the Bible is full of people who are guilty of interference, guilty of joy interference, guilty of hope interference, guilty of peace interference, and the list goes on. Now, on that list for our purposes today is Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the title given to a political or religious leader of the people. Our focus today is on Pharaoh of Egypt. He was flagged for interference by God for holding the people of Israel in bondage and in slavery For 400 years, he ordered all firstborn male babies to be killed. But we found out that because of God's faithfulness, that the mother of Moses put him in a basket, put him on the river, and it was Pharaoh's daughter who had someone to bring him in, and there he is. He's raised in Pharaoh's house. He killed an Egyptian, was identified, had to leave town in a hurry, became a fugitive from justice. This same Moses encountered God on the backside of a mountain, in a bush that would not be consumed, a burning bush. And God gave him an assignment. Go tell Pharaoh that I said to let my people go. And how many times have he delivered that warning? Moses kept saying that God told me to tell you. God told me to tell you. But Pharaoh refused to comply. And there is some Pharaoh in all of us. God threw a number of flags on Pharaoh. Plagues, everything from hail to locusts to darkness. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But just know today, there are consequences, rather, to interfering with the plan of God. Just know, first of all, there's a penalty. And there's a provision from God. Mm-hmm. And there's an opportunity to praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's talk about the penalty. Exodus 14:28. And keep in mind that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He had been flagged, but refused to comply. And as he and his men chased the Israelites down to the Red Sea, the Bible says the water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, and the entire army was there. And none of them survived. That sounds like a penalty, that God has warned you, and yet you do not comply. In the case of Pharaoh and his army, they were penalized. Now in pro football, when a defensive pass interference occurs, the ball is placed at the spot of the foul. I sound like I know what I'm talking about today, Mr. NFL. In the Bible, Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea were penalized at the spot of the foul. In the Red Sea, amen? And God will penalize your haters at the spot of your heartbreak, at the spot of your trouble. That person who tried to interfere in your life, that person that double-crossed you, that dug a hole for you, that stabbed you in the back, they will be penalized. Don't you try and do it. Let God take care of it. Let God fight your battle for you. Isaiah 54:17 makes it known, says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Amen.
Amen? Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Not only will there be a penalty, but there also is a provision that God gives for interference. Exodus 14:29. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Don't tell me God is not good.
No, that's right, yeah.
Now, in pro football, if there's an interference call in the end zone, the ball is placed at half the distance to the goal line. And that's a good spot. You'll be watching this. Well, Reverend Alec, he knew who he was talking about. In the Bible, the people of God had a great spot on the banks of the Red Sea. As God took them over, they experienced God's provision. They went through on dry land. In your life, in my life, God has provided for you. He's providing even right now. He puts us that much closer to our victory. That person who counted you out, that person who tried to double cross you, God has a plan for your life. He has made a provision for you. You will get to your promised land. Just remain faithful. Philippians 4:19 reminds us, but my God shall supply not some of your need, but all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news today? That when you look at your life situation, know that God is not asleep, that God is fully in control, that God will take care of you, that God will provide for you. And that's the good news today. You can look back over your life and say, God, you have kept me and you provided for me and my family and you've kept me with a sound mind. He makes provisions for us. And it's not just in the material. My God, he'll give you peace that passeth all understanding. He'll give you joy unspeakable just because he has a provision. Well, provision, a penalty, but there'll also be an opportunity to praise God. I'm getting excited about this point. Amen. Exodus 15 and 20. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Now, in pro football or any level of sports, when you get the victory, the team goes crazy and the fans go crazy and folk are jumping up and screaming and they're hollering, they're in the street. Amen? Amen. They're crazy. Why? Because they know that they have won, that they've gained the victory. And in this case, the people of God had escaped. God had brought them through seen and unseen dangers. They had reason to praise. Miriam, Aaron's sister, grabbed a timbrel and began to say, can we have church up in here? Up in here? They had a praise party on the other side of the Red Sea. Now, you may have reason right now to praise God. Amen? Praise him in your home because of what he's done for you. Praise him, and some of you all know about this, in your car. I know you got tinted windows, yes, but every now and then God will just come and meet you right where you are. Isn't that good news today? Amen. You may praise God on your job, and some of you all have praised God on Zoom. Amen. Oh, yes, you have. You put that other picture up there while you gave him praise on the other end. Hey. Hallelujah. Right now, God is watching and listening. And even as you watch and listen to this broadcast, I don't need to give you permission. You can give God a praise right now. All right. Amen. Give him praise for the victory that he has given you. I love Psalm 24 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I believe that the greatest victory of all took place at Calvary, on an old rugged cross where Jesus had been murdered in cold blood, but he was buried, but there in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. I will call that super. I know you're talking about Super Bowl. I'm talking about super God. Won't he do it today? Won't he keep you through seen and unseen dangers? Won't he bless you? And just know that the enemy will never give up. Every now and then, he'll throw a flag at you. He'll throw the lying flag. He'll throw the cheating flag. And you know what? When that happens, aren't you glad that God has a challenge flag? Oh, that's the red flag. I can talk about the blood all by itself. That challenge flag lets us know that God can reverse your situation. Wait a minute. God can reverse what the enemy meant for evil. God can mean for good. Have you realized today that God will throw a challenge, or he can challenge the enemy? Why? He's God all by himself. That's the good news today, that when the enemy throws a flag on you, you want to storm the field, but don't do it. Know that God who sits high and God who looks low will challenge it. In fact, greater is he that is within me than he that's in the world. Wait a minute. I'm talking about a challenge flag. Times have been tough for you. You didn't think you'd make it through, but yet God challenged. And God always wins. Oh, yes, he does. He keeps all of his timeouts because he's a God of favor. He's a God of love. He's a God of peace. And you've just got to keep on running, realizing that he loves you. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I've been running for a long time. I'm running. Maybe it's a 4-2, but I'm not tired yet. I've been singing for a long time, but I'm not tired yet. Look at that. Look at you running for Jesus. I've been preaching for a long time, but I'm not tired yet. I'm not even panting because what? God is so faithful and God is so good. James Cleveland, you had it right. I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that what the road would be easy, but what? I don't believe he's brought me this far to lead me. So don't worry about the flags. Don't worry about the interference. God is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. My God, I feel like a winner today. Amen. I don't need a trophy. My trophy will be my crown in glory. Amen. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Interference, it will come. But know that God will throw the flag. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed.
Amen.
Let's take a moment even now. I want to invite you to change your life. Amen. You've got so many flags around you that the whole field is yellow. Amen. Flags of doubt and flags of fear. Flags of disappointment. And all you know is that you've been flagged. But can I stop by the day that everything that you've been going through, God can use it to his good. I was glad when they brought the red flag around. Man, that was a new thing. And even then, I realized it was the blood of Jesus Christ that saved my life. Let's bow. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the victory. It is my prayer today for that man or woman, that boy or girl who knows not the Savior. I know the headline is the pandemic, but the bigger headline is that I can be saved and have life eternal. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Today, give your life to Jesus. Today, make a turn for the good. There's nothing like being in the family of God. You're on the team. You're on the team. I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless God today. We thank the Lord and thank you for sharing this word. And we want to step away now and have a little news. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to the first Sunday in February. I'm Tim Toon Jr. for WHCM News.
We would like to connect with you. For updates to what's taking place in our ministry, you can request an update by way of text or email. Just visit come2harvest.org/updates. We want to thank you for your gifts online. To continue support in this ministry, go to come2harvest.org/giveonline. For prayer, reach us at contact@come2harvest.org. Harvest is trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. We are currently being watched and heard in 40 states and 30 countries. In this love month, we'd like to wish a big happy birthday to those born in the month of February.
It is our hope and prayer that your team takes the Lombardi Trophy tonight. For WHCM News, I'm Tim Toon Jr. Back to you, Pastor.
Thank you, sir. Thank God for the news. We thank you as always for sharing with us, trying to keep you up to date. I want to just shout out to Rejoice Musical Soul Food Network. There's a link on our website. You're talking about getting the word out. You can listen to good music and also hear seeds of encouragement as well. Amen. As a result, we talk about the past, about our history, but what about our future? I want to close on this song today from Brother Mackay, part of the Maryland Boys Choir. And we want to hear a little bit from him today.
I climbed up to the highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around and there couldn't find no path. Out across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your patient love and mercy. searched all alone, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody there, nobody there, and no, nobody greater than you. I searched all alone, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Nobody can.
All right, Brother Makai, that's the short version. God bless you. Thank God for the young people of our ministry who are continuing to hold up the bloodstained banner. Well, it's that time again. It's time to say good day to you. It's time to say thank you. It's time to continue to give God the pleasure and to give him the praise. Look out for that yellow flag today for the entire team here at Harvest Christian Ministries from Studio C. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Amen.